Danny. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Job in chapter 1. How are we doing, Abel? Good to see you tonight. It's Monday night. This is Monday night football. No, it's not. We're here to open the Word of God and see what God has to say. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came after work, after hard days at work, to come to hear the Word of God. That says something about your character. I thank God that you're here. We got 8 nights. That means I've got 8 stones to throw at you. You've been praying for a while that one of those stones would hit you. And I'm aiming. I'm praying that God would answer your prayers. And that God would use me in somehow, some way, to change your life through His Word. By way of commercial announcement, since you all enjoyed the Mass, if you'd like me to come by and bless your house, I'd be more than happy to. If you have any little children, I'll come by and bless them. I'd be more than happy to do that. You know, the Word of God's a blessing. And you can go to a home and bless. Jesus said, if they don't receive it, then, you know, wipe your feet off. But otherwise, they receive a blessing. One verse. Let's stand and read it together. Job in chapter 1 and verse 21. I'll read out loud and you follow silently. And said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray tonight that your name once again would be glorified. Lord, we seek no glory or honor for ourselves. And Lord, you've heard the prayers in this place. We seek revival. Lord, we seek a commitment to you and a love for you with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. Oh God, that you might be honored in all that we do. And Lord, there would be a life-changing message given tonight that would change our lives for eternity. Lord, if there be any soul here tonight that is not saved, does not have eternal life, they might come to know you as their Savior. Lord, any Christian that has been discouraged, they might be encouraged. Lord, any Christian that has been cast down, Lord, they might be raised up this evening. And Lord, that we might serve you all the days of our life for your glory and for your honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord gave. Thank God for that. I'm thankful that our God is a giver. God doesn't have to be a giver. When God decided to create man, He didn't have to be a giver. He did not have to create you or give you an opportunity to enjoy life. God had no obligation. And yet the Scriptures say God gave. Thank God for that. The Lord gave. And one of the greatest verses, and if I were to ask you to stand and recite it, almost every one of you could stand and recite it this morning or this evening. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should, I'm lost. Can you quote it? Anybody quote that verse for me? Thank God. The problem with learning 3 languages is sometimes you get a short circuit up there and it gets all twisted around. But He did give. And there's no greater gift than that He gave. He gave His only begotten. Amen. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It wasn't too long ago in Afghanistan. We have a battle over there right now. In Afghanistan, a Sergeant James Trevor of the 1st Battalion was driving one of them heavy armored duty trucks. Now, some of you soldiers and Marines, you might know what I'm talking about. The road underneath it collapsed and turned over the truck into a canal filled with water. The truck was filled with men. Sergeant Trevor swam to those men, dragged them to an air pocket underneath the truck because they were all trapped. They couldn't get out. He died saving his comrades. There's no greater love than this when you lay down your life for your friends. It wasn't too long ago in Iraq. Petty Officer Second Class Michael Mansour, after a grenade was thrown and it bounced off his chest, he realized that his comrades were going to die, and he instinctively jumped on the grenade, and he died saving his comrades. One of his fellow SEALs that were saved in that action said, "Mickey looked death in the face that day and said, you cannot take my brothers. I will go in their stead." He was 24 years old. He was somebody's son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Somebody's mother, somebody's father was weeping the night they got the news. Now, had we gone to them and said, "Would you give your son willingly?" We don't know what the reaction might be. I know that when our son and your son, some of your sons, came and told you the news that they've been called up to Iraq, it wasn't necessarily willingly. It was a fact of life, and we didn't have much we could do. And we fell to our knees and we prayed, not that our son would die, but our sons would come home to us alive. And yet one day in eternity, God the Father decided that He would give His Son to go and die willingly. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Isn't that our cry? Don't we like it when God gives? As far back as Abraham, we have heard this cry, Lord God, what will Thou give me? Isn't that many of our prayers? Lord, what can You do for me? We know that a God is love, and therefore we go to Him, because a God that is love is a giver. Love and giving are so wrapped up together, it's hard to distinguish them. We can't imagine a person that loves that does not give. The word charity in itself, that old English word that has survived in our Bibles today, is wrapped up in the idea of giving. God is the greatest giver. Amen. In the book of James, in chapter 1 and 17, you'll find that it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good gift, every perfect gift. I speak with religious people on a daily basis. And they pray to other gods and to saints and all sorts of things. I don't know why they would do that when the greatest giver is willing to give. Amen. I don't know why anybody would go to the mother when they can go to the Father, who is the author of all good gifts. I don't know why anybody would pray to the created when they can pray to the Creator. I don't know anybody that would rationally go to the mother of a doctor when they can go to the doctor. And Jesus is that great physician. And He gave that promise, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He gave the promise, "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out." What greater promise is that? How can we find a greater promise than when God in the flesh says, "Come to Me, and I'll not cast you out"? And the Lord gave. The same God that authored and said, "It is better to give than to receive." Will He not be a great giver? Is He not a great giver? Amen. Have you ever learned that principle from God? Have you ever learned the example from God Almighty? He is the greatest giver. He is our example. And He does give. The Lord gave. In Proverbs in chapter 3 and verse 28 it says, "Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee." Now that's wisdom speaking, and God is the author of wisdom. And surely if God has it to give, surely He'll give it. He says, "Ask and ye shall receive." God has the ability and the desire to give. And that's why Job said, "The Lord gave." The Lord gave. Hasn't the Lord given you something?
Amen.
I look about you and I see most of us in good health. The Lord gave.
Amen.
I look about the room and I see many with wives and husbands and children. The Lord gave.
Amen.
I look about here and most of you have a job. The Lord gave.
Thank you, Lord.
I look around this building and think, here we're sitting. What wonderful chairs. I remember sitting in the old chairs. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. And the Lord continues to give. And what a great God we have where He's the giver.
Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 4, would you look at it?
Governments around the world, whether it be the American government, the Mexican government, the Polish government, they're givers. Some of you here this evening might have received benefits of the government, might have received welfare. Recently, a lot of us received checks from the government. The government's a giver. And I found around the world the same thing. They're willing to give other people's money. Well, that's easy to do. I'm going to give your money. You give me your money and I'll give it away. I found around the world that people are willing to give that which they don't have. Boy, if I ever get me a new truck, I'm going to give it to you. Boy, if my ship ever comes in, you're going to get a portion. Yeah, everybody's willing to give what they don't have. If it doesn't cost you, you're more than willing to give it. And notice what it says. Galatians 1 and verse 4, he says, "Who gave Himself." Like James Trevor and Petty Officer Michael Mansour, they gave themselves. I don't know that they gave themselves willingly. It was just a reaction. Doesn't seem to me that it was planned. But God gave of Himself. Jesus willingly laid down His life, knowing beforehand the great terrors that waited for Him at the cross of Calvary. And He went anyway. And what the amazing thing is, He had the power to stop it. You ever think about that?
Amen.
He had the power to stop it. But He gave Himself. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. I'm so thankful that He gave Himself for our sins. Aren't you?
Amen.
If you've been saved, you can say, "Oh, thank God. Thank God He gave Himself for our sins." Look in 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 6. Not for ours only. Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That is the wondrous thing about the gospel. I like preaching good news. And that's the meaning of the gospel, is good news. I've got good news to deliver people because He gave Himself a ransom for all. That is a tremendous blessing. That means I can go to Warsaw, Poland with confidence that Jesus Christ gave Himself a ransom for all the Poles. I can knock on their door and with confidence and say, He gave Himself a ransom for you. I can go down in old Mexico and say the same thing. Thank God, that great giver, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for you. What a blessing. What a blessing. He gave it for all.
Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm glad you have your Bible. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, a lot of Christian countries understand that Christ gave Himself a ransom for all. They have that knowledge up here. It's a factual knowledge. It's something that they could state and say, yes, that's true. It's something that a police officer will come and say, yes, I believe that, in a discourse about whether we have the right to preach or not. So, yeah, I believe that Christ died on the cross for sinners. They will acknowledge it. But salvation, my friend, is this, that He died for me.
Amen.
Yes, He's the Savior of all the world, but is He your Savior? That's the most important question. Can you stand and say, He's my Savior, He's my God? That's the question. And if you cannot say that with full confidence and unfeigned sincerity, you cannot say, yes, Jesus Christ is my Savior because He saved me. Thank God for that. That's what salvation is all about. Christ died for you. And I'm sure we could spend a great time in just this verse. It's not I, but Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we could just get I out of our lives and put Christ there. If we could just get rid of me, myself, and I and put Christ there in our marriages, there'd be a difference. If we could get rid of me, myself, and I in the churches, oh, there'd be a difference if Christ was there. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Isn't that what Jesus did? He sought not His own, but He sought your wealth and my wealth. He sought that which was best for you and I. And He did it all the way to the cross. God gave. I'm sure we could spend many an hour just going through the Scriptures showing verse after verse after verse where God gave. And we could say with Job and stand and say and proclaim boldly, the Lord gave. Because He did. He did. If we started over here with the brothers and sisters on this side of the church, they could stand and testify what the Lord gave. And we moved across the room, the others could stand and say the same. Yes, yes, that's true. Amen. The Lord gave. Moving on to this side. Yes, the same testimony. The Lord gave. And thank God, the Lord gave. I don't understand it when we have people that profess to be Christians and they can't even thank God for the food that the Lord gave. I don't understand that. I don't understand how people can eat 3, 4, 5 times a day and not one time stop and say, the Lord gave. I don't know how we can get up and go to our jobs when so many people in the world are without employment and not thank God that the Lord gave. I don't know how we can complain when we have an abundance of food in the refrigerators and many of it we're just going to throw it out because we've been sitting there for too long. And not thank God that the Lord gave. I don't know how that we can look at our precious children and the children are an inheritance of the Lord and not look down at them and say, the Lord gave. I don't know how we can look in the face of our beloved wives and not say, the Lord gave. I don't know how we... Well, maybe I do how we... looking in the face of our husbands. Maybe we might want to scratch our head on that one. But no, the Lord gave. I don't know how we can't come to a meeting on Sunday morning and listen to our pastors as they preach and they give us the Word of God and say, thank God, the Lord gave. Amen. I don't know how we can come to an open meeting and see the Spirit of God and move in member after member and not stand up and say, thank God, the Lord gave. I don't know how we can go out on the streets and the highways and proclaim the great gospel. And when God gives the increase, we don't stop and say, thank God, the Lord gave. And Job said, the Lord gave. Isn't it God that gives us the rain? Isn't it God that gives us our daily bread? Isn't it God that gave them bread from heaven? The Lord gave. You tell me if this is true or not. He gave sight to the blind. Hearing to the deaf. Speech to the mute. Cleansing to the leper. Strength to the weak. Bread to the hungry. Water to the thirsty. Rest to the weary. He gave peace to the anxious. Comfort to the grieving. Victory to the defeated. Salvation to the lost. The Lord gave. He gave deliverance to the prisoner, knowledge to the ignorant, instruction to the wise, life to the dead. Legs to the lame, hands to the maimed, liberty to the captive, grace to the sinner, the Lord gave. Mercy to the condemned, hope for the hopeless, charity to the needy, wives to the bachelors, husbands to the maidens, children to the barren, the Lord gave. He gave happiness to the sad, joy to the sorrowful, light and darkness, truth for lies, holiness for vileness, honor to the reproached, the Lord gave. He gave answer to prayer, faith to the faithless and hope to the hopeless. You have your list. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. Jesus said to a woman of Samaria one day, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that spake to thee, thou would ask of Him and He would give thee living waters. And this great gospel commission that we're all endeavored in is to go out and tell people, the Lord gives. He's the greatest giver. And if you knew the gift of God and who it was that promised, you would ask of Him and He'd give you living waters. Isn't that true? And you stand and say this evening, the Lord gave.
Amen.
I look around some of these faces and I see some stories. It brings to remembrance how the Lord gave. Sometimes we get together and we go through some of our old pictures. And that's quite humorous sometimes. Some of us still had hair. But it's amazing how different people sat in different places. And who's married today. And just amazing. But the Lord gave. Looking around this room and remember that a lot of these people that were once young children. And now they're married. It's hard to believe that Janice is a grandmother of six. Hard to believe that I'm married to a grandmother of six. I thank God the Lord gave. But that isn't all our text. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Now, there's no doubt a great controversy among even Christians about this part. You see, it's hard to find a Christian who would say, no, the Lord doesn't give. Everybody acknowledges that the Lord gives.
But there's a lot of people that have problems when the Bible says that the Lord taketh away. It seems somehow contradictory. But is it? Is it? He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Oh, yeah. In Psalm 85, verses 2 and 3, he says, Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Oh, aren't you thankful that he took that away? Oh, yeah. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. In Isaiah, in chapter 6, and verse 7, it says, And it laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Aren't you thankful that the Lord taketh away? In 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 5, the Scriptures say, And ye know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin at all. Aren't you thankful? And don't you find it strange that believers would say, Yes, the Lord gave, but the Lord cannot take away. I'm praying about and considering the subject matter for this conference or this revival meeting. I determined in my heart that I was not going to preach on things that were, how should I word this? I wanted to preach on the deep things of God. The important things of God. I mean, there's a lot in the Bible. And there's a lot of head knowledge that we can get in the Scriptures. But I wanted to open the Scriptures and find that which just touches our hearts. That which would change our lives. And would it ever get in our minds that God is indeed love. And that God of love gives. And that God of love takes away. Many a woman in the Old Testament, finding herself barren, crying out to God, at the end when God gave them children, they would say, He has taken away my reproach. Aren't you thankful that He takes away? But I don't think Job had that in mind when he said, The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. You see, you and I, like most people, throughout history can understand a God that would give and take away sin and take away reproach and take away those things that hurt us. But when it comes down that God took away our wealth and God took away our family and God took away our health, then we got some doctrinal issues with God, amazingly. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 8, he said, For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In other words, he desired of the Lord that the Lord would take it away. You ever been in a situation that you wanted the Lord to just take it away? I can't bear it anymore. I don't want to face it anymore. This is too much for me, God. Oh, God, take it away. And then we hear His voice, and He said, My grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Now, sometimes we prayed, and God heard our prayers. He said, All right, I'll take it away. Oh, and we rejoice. And we say, What a loving God. What do you think about old Apostle Paul? Do you think he rejoiced?
I think he did. I think he did. I think when he heard that word from the Lord, "My grace is sufficient," he said, "All right, Lord, I love you. That's enough for me." Doesn't say he asked 4, 5, 6 times. Doesn't say he continued to ask after this. Now, he may have, but it doesn't say that. But again, I don't think that this is what Job was talking about. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Later on, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, I think that Job loved God. I think that Job loved God when he was in prosperity and all things were running well. And I think Job loved God even at this moment. He loved God. He loved Him enough to realize, "I can't explain it, Lord. I don't know what's going on." No doubt, great anxiety in his heart. Says later that he sat down in the ashes for 7 days. No doubt he was troubled. And yet he said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And if a church ever got a hold of that type of love for God, there would be some changes. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. You don't think that God proves our love? I think I read some scriptures this yesterday about that. That God will test our love. You don't think that was the battle between the devil and God Almighty? Who does Job love? Will he still love you when you take everything away from him? Will he still love you when you take that which he loves away from him? And that's the question for you and I tonight. Are we prepared to love God all the way to the end? You remember old Pharaoh? He was a stubborn old goat. God gave some frogs. You remember that story? God gave him some frogs. Lots of frogs. It had a pretty good effect because Pharaoh called in Moses. "All right, I give up. I'm gonna let you go." You remember the story? "I'm going to let you go. You can go, you can go, you can go." And Moses said, "All right, when you want to take the frogs away?" He said, "Tomorrow." That's strange. But it does bring it out and illustrates a point. That people want God to take away things on their terms. They're willing to concede the doctrinal point that, yes, the Lord gave and the Lord takes away. And they're willing to concede that point, but only on my terms. But if God is God and He is God, then He does it His way. And surely by now, we should know that His way is the best. Even when tragedy comes our way and bad news comes our way, we ought to even realize in the moments of anxiety and great despair, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans 8:28 comes to mind, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Do you know that? You got to know it in the good times.
Because if you don't know it in the good times, when the bad times come, you got to know it when God is giving. Because when God begins to take away, you're going to need that.
Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay and of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? God is God. But He's a God of love. And so that which He does in your life and that which He does in my life, He does it out of love. We don't always understand that. Love has always been difficult to explain. When we read this testimony of Job, we can just say, just marvel. And we say, wow. Because we have no other verbs or vocabulary to use. What can we say? But wow. And we see a man of God or a sister in the Lord go through similar trials and problems in their life. And they survive and they stand and they give God the glory. We say, thank God for such a testimony. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. There was a man, this is a parable, he was a very rich man. He was one of those fellows that did not have to balance his checkbook. Lived in a big mansion, had lots of good cars, had servants taking care of the house and lawn, had cooks. But this man was a Christian. He was a real believer, and he loved the Lord. And he had one son, only one. And he was determined to train his son to do for himself. That is, he had worked all his life. He had earned his wealth. He did not inherit his wealth. He had worked, and he started his own business. His business prospered, and he was reaping the fruits of his labor. He wanted his son to learn that same worth ethic. And so he would not lavish great expensive gifts upon his son at all. If his son wanted something, he'd have to work for it. And he began at a very young age, and his son began to resent this. And so the son went off to college, and his father made him work. Didn't pay for his college. Made him work for it. But they had a pretty good relationship. And one day they're driving around and they happen to pass one of these fancy automobile dealerships where, I don't know, these fancy cars, you know, $150,000 car. And the son happened to mention, you know, I'd like that. And his father just nodded. And they just drove on. You know, Dad, I put myself through college, you know, and I'm going to be graduating here next week. I'd kind of like to have that car as a graduation gift. His father just nodded and drove home. The day of his graduation came. His father and mother were there. They were at the auditorium. He had graduated at the top of his class. He had worked his way through. They came home and they were having a graduation party for him. Had all their friends, many people from the church. His father and mother were there. People gave him gifts. And his father came to him with a Bible. And he said, Son, I'm really proud of you. Gave him a big hug, shook his hand, and said, Son, here's your gift. He gave him a Bible, a new Bible, still in the box. His son, out of years of resentment, took that Bible and threw it down. Said, Dad, you had it. You have enough wealth. It wouldn't hurt you. You wouldn't even miss the money. You could have bought me that car, and you didn't do it. And he threw the Bible down and stormed out of the party. His mother pleaded with him to come back, and he refused. Years passed on. The young man married and he had children, but he refused to have any contact with his father. He would meet with his mother, but he would not meet with his father. Over the years, the mother pleaded with him to come talk to your father. He would not do it. He would not do it. Mom, he said, I worked all my life, and Dad, he would not give me what I wanted. One day, late at night, the son gets a call from his mother. Your dad's in the hospital. You need to come visit him. It looks like he's going to die. Before he could get to this hospital, the father did die. He went to the funeral to be with his mother. They came home afterwards. And he happened to enter the office of his father. His father had an office in his big mansion. And there on that table was that old Bible, that new Bible, sitting there from all those years ago that his father had purchased for him on that day of graduation so long ago. And the son opened the Bible, and in the middle were keys to a brand new $150,000 car. His mother said they were sitting there that whole time. The Lord gave. He's given us so much. He knows what's best for us. He knows our needs. He knows our desires. He's willing to give. He's willing to withhold. He knows what we need. He's wiser than you and I. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The brother's going to come. You do what you need to do. You do what you need to do.